Dear Father, we thank you for gracing us with your presence this morning. We thank you that though we are weak, feeble sinners, that you love us so much that you choose to come be a part of this place and of what's going on here today. So, Father, I pray that you continue to draw us close into your presence. I pray for every heart and mind and ear to be open to what you have to say today. I pray for the anointing upon your word as we read out of your scripture. I pray for your anointing upon Pastor Matt as he delivers your message to us today. So continue to draw us near, Lord, I pray in your name. Amen. You may be seated as I read out of the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 through 45. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
If you would open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, that's exactly what we are going to be looking at this morning. And before we get into that, just a quick announcement. December 13th, we're going to be having a little prayer gathering here led by the Coffees Life Group. I don't think Todd and Barbara are in here. Maybe they're with the kids. Their life group is putting on a little prayer gathering. Lisa's there. Hey, wave your hand if you have any questions. That's going to be at 5:30 p.m. here at the church. Time to gather and pray for our church, to pray for each other, to pray for our country, to pray for the gospel to go out from this place. And so I think it has potential to be very powerful, and I would encourage you to come and be a part of that. I think it's going to be really good. So again, Lisa, will you wave your hand if you want to talk to someone from the Coffees Life Group? That would be great. Let's pray, and let's jump into Luke chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 39 through 45 if you kind of keep your finger there. All right. Father, I just pray that you would rid me of unbelief, rid any person in this room of unbelief, and we trust you. Truly put our faith in you, hold on to you, because we need you every moment, not just in this time, not just coming to church, not just hearing your word. We need you throughout the week. We need you to be strong. We need you to give us strength. Give me strength now, Lord, and give each person in this room ears to hear, eyes to see, open hearts to your word. And we pray that we could just enjoy the fact that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Anyone in here, Father, who's in Christ, could we just receive that and hold on to that? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Our sins have been forgiven, and are gone, thrown into the depth of the sea. And so I pray that we would remember that, rejoice in that, and live from that today. Pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to tell you a little story. And this story is not meant to prescribe anything to you, at least not at the beginning. It's just a description of what happened, okay? Just describing that. So, went to Target with my wife, and usually I just run in there by myself, but she had to go grab something. So while she was grabbing something, I did the obvious thing. I went and got coffee, as Alan would call it, at Charbucks. I still went there. Well, I got there and they say, hey, do you have a mask? I was like, no, I don't have a mask. And they're like, well, you have to have a mask to get stuff from this place. Okay. So I just stood there waiting for them. And the girl finally is like, well, I have a mask for you. So I was like, okay, cool. So she hands me the mask, grab it. And I'm like, okay, I was kind of ribbing her a little bit. I was like, did you just give me the virus when you handed me that mask? Like, what just, like, did you just pass it to me? She's like, oh, I sanitized my hands. Okay, so I put the mask on, right? All right, so we're good. We're just, okay, just wait till the end of the story, okay? Don't freak out. I'm not, if you like masks, I'm all for you. I support you. So we have a conversation a little bit. Those girls were pretty frustrated that I didn't automatically, you know, enjoy the whole mask thing. And so I started making comments like, okay, well, so let's just think about this. Like, do you think that we're better than the Native Americans who used to live on this land? They never had masks. Do you think we're better than them? And they're just like, oh, how dare you say something like that? And so we kind of went back and forth, tried to use a little bit of reason. Finally, one girl's like, look, it's just for everyone's consideration. So I was like, okay, I'm sorry. At this point, I'm kind of like, okay, I need to just back off a little. I'm sorry. You're doing your job. I get it. I'm coming to get your goods. And your whatever, coffee, so thank you. Like, I'm sorry, your boss told you to do this. You know, I get that. Like, that's fine. She's like, no, our boss didn't just tell us. So it's our choice. And I was like, well, you didn't give me a choice. And they're just like, well, you know. So they were pretty upset. So we walk out of there. I tried to do some reason, some logic. Get out of there. I get in the car with Marissa. I tell Marissa what happened. She asked me a few questions, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm trying to reason with them, because I told them more stuff than that. I tried to reason with them, and there just wasn't happening. It was just like, so we kind of talked for a minute. And then Marissa asked me, and she says, why didn't you tell them about Jesus? And I was like, oh, I love my wife. That's why I love my wife. Like, really, though, like, why didn't I tell them about Jesus? Like, we can argue about masks and what we think and all that stuff. And there's a place for that, I think, when you're forcing everyone to. But realistically, it's like, well, why didn't you tell them about Jesus? Why didn't I tell them? Like, hey, are you guys afraid? You know, if you're afraid, can I please give me a second. Let me just tell you about this guy. His name is Jesus. He can save you. He's not afraid of viruses. In fact, he's in control of all of them. He's above all of them. So let me just tell you about him for a minute. He can save your soul. Not just protect you from a virus. He can save your very soul. Why didn't I do that? I don't know, but I didn't. Okay, so my failure, let that be my failure and not yours in the future. I wish I would have. Here in our text, John the Baptist, he's the one who introduces Jesus, right? That's what we know about his job is to announce Jesus. That's what we read during the Advent reading. His job is basically to say, like, he's here. He's here. Clear path. Everybody watch out. He's here. Look who's coming. He's here. It's Jesus. He's announcing Jesus, okay? And we're going to see that here in chapter 1. I wish that's what I would have done. Look at verse 39 with me. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. So here, Mary leaves from last week. If you remember, she leaves her encounter with Gabriel and she goes to the hill country. So she goes to this place, the hill country. They don't even name a town, just the hill country, right? This is obscure. If you think about Jesus, his life starting. It's just, it's a humble start. It's not in a prominent place. It's not in this place of power or this political spot. It's just, oh, you know, some the hill country out there with those people. You know, that's kind of almost the vibe. You get this, like, this little obscure town out here. This is where her story, Mary's story, and Zechariah's story collide. So I want us to see two primary things, because we really hit on verse 45 last week. So I want us to see two primary things here. First is about Elizabeth, who's Zechariah's wife. Second about is about John, the miraculous child inside of Elizabeth. So number one, joy, not jealousy, filled Elizabeth. Joy, not jealousy, filled Elizabeth. So you have these two women carrying these miraculous babies, and they both meet. And what's incredible, if you look at our text, is Elizabeth, she recognized what's going on. Elizabeth sees what's happening. Because why? Elizabeth understood who Mary was carrying. Look at verse 43. She says, "My Lord, the mother of my Lord." She understood what's going on. And Elizabeth then blesses Mary. So what I want us to get is that Elizabeth, she doesn't respond with jealousy. She doesn't respond with disappointment. She doesn't say, "Hey, I am finally pregnant. Finally, I get to have a baby." And here comes Mary showing up to steal the spotlight. She shows up with a better baby than me, right? She doesn't do that. That's not her response. Instead, she responds with humble joy. Verse 42, look at verse 42. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb." She's saying to her, "You are most blessed. Mary, you are most blessed." So notice, this is not about Mary herself. This isn't based on Mary at all. It's based on Jesus. It's Mary's, it's the grace of God that chose Mary. Mary has the privilege to be the mother of God's Son. So if you grew up in Catholic Church, it might be kind of hard. It might be confusing when you talk about Mary, because part of it is we want to just kind of be like, oh, if you, you know, they worship Mary, and there's this kind of like, oh, you got to pray to her, and she's this, she's above us. We're down here, she's above us, and this. Okay, so we're going to take that, but we also don't want to just be like, oh, Mary, and then kind of toss her to the side. What a special privilege, really, to carry Jesus. Like, what an honor. How incredible. So we want to recognize that without going overboard, as we've seen done in other religions. So Elizabeth tells Mary here in our text, basically, "My baby is jumping for joy because your baby is here." So this is where we get to John's part. Second thing I want us to see. John's joyful announcement. And his joyful announcement is, he's here. He's here. Look at verse 44. "For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Or it could say jumped for joy. So this is just remarkable. Before John is even born, he is announcing Jesus. He leaps in his mother's womb. He leaps for joy. He's announcing Christ. He's saying, "He's here. He's here." Right? We know that's John the Baptist's job, is to prepare the way of the Lord. So this is God showing his miracles to us, that when Jesus Christ steps into the room, John can't help but announce his presence. He has to do something. He has to say he's here. Even, get that, like, even as a baby in the womb, does that not show you God's power? How powerful God is, that Jesus steps in the room and John is just jumping for joy. He's here. He's here. That should have been my response to the girls at Starbucks. We can talk about masks anytime. We can talk about the virus and the response to it and all the things that affect us anytime. But man, I wish I would have said something about, "He's here. Let me introduce you to Jesus. He can tear off all your masks, reveal your true self. He can pull off all of your shame. You don't have to hide behind anything ever again." But I miss that time. Maybe I can go back. Maybe they'll be there again. John jumped for joy. He's so excited, and Elizabeth is so excited. She exclaimed with a loud cry. So if you're not excited, you know the people, it's just going to be like kind of a monotone, just yay. This is great, Mary. We're very proud of you. Right? This was not Elizabeth's response. She exclaims with a loud cry. She is excited. John is excited. Joy is everywhere in this room. The question before us then is, do you get this excited about Jesus? Do you get this excited about the sound of his coming? Do you jump for joy at the sound of his coming? And I do think that there are different responses, and people respond differently physically when you're worshiping, those kind of things. So I'm not talking about that so much. I'm talking about a spiritual response. Like, how do you respond to the sound of Jesus coming? Maybe you walk past that place in your house where you always pray. Is it like, oh, my heart just leaped for joy. I can't wait till tonight. Kids are in bed and I get to go there and pray. Does your heart leap for joy when you grab this and you open it up and you start reading and you just, wow, who is God? This is incredible. Why does he even love me? Why does he care about me? This is unreal. My heart is just bursting forth with joy. Is that what you experience when you're singing songs here with Nathan and the worship team? If you want to jump up and down physically, more power to you. But more than that, is there a response in your heart just exploding with joy like the joy that we see in this room with Mary and Elizabeth when you hear the testimony of someone? Someone tells you about how they became a Christian. Is your heart just leaping for joy? When you hear the Word of God preached, is your heart leaping, jumping for joy? What about baptisms? I've noticed that's an easy place for me to see that happen. Marissa and I love baptisms, love to just see someone, kids, adults, anyone saying, I declare, I profess that I have been united with Christ in his death, in his burial, and then in his resurrection, and I come out of that water clean, and it's just like, amen, this is exciting. I'm so excited that this person has chosen that, that this has happened in their heart. We're celebrating, right? So there's joy wrapped up in our hearts. That's our spiritual response. Let me take you to the only other place, the only other time this word is used, the word leaped, in the New Testament. So if you have your Bibles, go to Luke 6. Luke 6. We just went through this chapter, Luke 6, 22. Start there. So this word leaped is used three times in the New Testament, twice in chapter 1, one time here. Okay? Look at verse 22. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you, when they spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. The only other time the same picture is used in Scripture is saying, leap for joy at the coming exclusion. Don't try to befriend the world. Instead, leap for joy when you're excluded by the world. Leap for joy when they hate you on account of Christ. Leap for joy when they ruin your reputation. Let them say what they want. In your heart, leap for joy. Why? Because you have a great reward in heaven. They did this to the prophets before, and the prophets proved true. That's who we want to be like. The prophets were God's chosen. That's who we are. So we leap for joy. We leap for joy at the sound of our Savior coming. We leap for joy at the sound of his presence, but we also leap for joy when we're persecuted for his name. We leap for joy when we're treated poorly for Christ. Why? Because we know we have joy in Christ. We have a joy that can never be taken away. John chapter 16 tells us that. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. He took on God's wrath in our place. that we couldn't bear. He bore our sins on the cross, but he didn't stay dead, right? He overcame the grave, and he's alive right now. And Jesus then freely offers that forgiveness of sins for all who believe in him, for all who call on his name, anyone. Doesn't matter your status, who you've been, where you're at, anyone who calls on his name and believes in him. So do you see why John was so excited? Do you see why John is like, he's here, the one who's going to save us from our sins, the one who's going to bring us together for all of eternity. The King is here. Jesus is here, the one who created us, the one who created order, who made all of this stuff. He's here, and he's going to redeem you. He's going to bring you life, true life. Do you see why John is jumping for joy even in his mother's womb? He's saying, he's here. I think sometimes we can get that excitement being at church, right? But the question I've been wrestling with, and maybe you're more spiritually mature, and that's good, and I'm sure there is that, but maybe we could all wrestle with it. Could we really leap for joy when we're persecuted? Could we really leap for joy when we're persecuted? Listen to this from North Korea. This is someone they were talking to. It's their neighbor. I don't know what the neighbor believes. When we were living in North Korea, we did not know that she was practicing religion, said the respondent. However, when I came back home, I heard she was killed. When I asked why she died, I was told she was arrested alone, whereas the whole family left the town because they were practicing religion. I heard she was suffering and prayed until the point she died. She believed in Christianity. I heard she believed in God. She was investigated in the provincial political security department, and I heard they hit her until she shed excrement. I heard they dried her out to death, not giving her a drop of water. I heard she died after suffering like a dog. Could you experience joy in that? Could I? The only possible way, the only chance to experience joy in something like that is to know that you already have Jesus and that you already have his joy. And that's the only way you could leap for joy when being persecuted. That's the only possible way. That's why we have to know, you have to know, I have to know, is your foundation Jesus? Is your foundation to everything Jesus? So I took Cross, our third child, to the dentist on Friday. And as my wife was filling out the paperwork, as I told the first service so that I would be correct, as she's filling out the paperwork, she sends me a picture of this question, which is on the screen here. Now I read about stuff and look at things, but it had never quite hit me this close to home. It's a question for, again, my four-year-old going to the dentist. Gender identity, innermost concept of self as male, female, both, or neither. Well, let me just tell you, if you have a brain, that makes no sense. So that is not, what is that even saying? I have no clue. But let's go on. You can check male, female, transgender, female, something else, ... choose not to disclose. What city are you from? Apparently, we live on a different planet now. So as I read that, I was like, whoa, our world has gone mad. They've gone insane. We have gone insane. That makes no sense to anyone about anything. It's like almost like jumbled up words on a page. That is insanity. Right, so this dentist is going to help my child. What if the tooth is transitioning to a toenail and they accidentally pull out the toenail? How are they going to help my kid? It's craziness. Now, let me back up and offer some mercy, even though I'm not as merciful as my wife. I understand that people get confused. I understand that there are conflicting feelings in people at times. I understand that we live in a sinful world, a fallen world. I understand that people feel like maybe I'm not in the right body. I've heard stories about that, okay? Maybe I'm not. This is something's off with me. I'm weird. There's something different. I get that, okay? So I'm not condemning someone like that. I'm condemning the people who perpetuate the confusion, because see, what this is just adding to confusion. And what I'm saying is, if you're confused, guess what? Jesus is here, and he's our foundation, and you can fall from that confusion and land on a solid foundation of truth, because what is good for you is to know what God tells you. And what is good is there's male and there's female, and there's a created order, and God made that order, and that is the truth. So if you're confused, rather than say, oh dear, just live in your confusion, you poor thing, no. No, yes, we will find people that are confused. Yes, we all get confused about different things. That's why I'm pushing us hard. That is your foundation Jesus? Is the foundational place Jesus? Because that's going to be the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. This is what is good. And this is what John is announcing. Jesus, our foundation, is here. Jesus, the one who created order, is here. He's here. Jesus, the giver of joy, he's here. The announcement made by John, he's here, is good news. Not because we say, I don't know how to help you. No, because I know Jesus, and he can help you, and he can save you, and he can rescue you from your sins, and he can rescue you from your confusion. He can rescue you from your loneliness. He can rescue you from that despair. He can save you from your fears. I know him, and he's here. Not just good luck. Here's some questions that don't make any sense. That's not what we have to offer as Christians. And when you do struggle, because we do, with all sorts of things, when you do get lost, because we all get lost, unless we're just so prideful we don't admit it, that's when we need our brothers and sisters here to tell you, don't forget, he's here. Don't forget, he's here. The Savior has come. He loves you. He chose you. And he won't leave you. He's not going to leave you. Let's pray, and then we're going to go into a time of communion. Father, would we let our foundation just, or our roots just drive deeper and deeper into your foundation? Would we jump for joy at the sound of your coming? Would we be so deeply connected and in love with you that we jump for joy even when we're excluded? We're not trying to become friends with the world. We're not trying to win them over by being cool just like them. We want them to know the truth. We want them to know the God who loves them. And if that means we're excluded, God, then may we leap for joy as we're hated, as our reputations are ruined on account of Christ. But God, when it comes to just day to day, may we be quick, so quick, to have a heart like my wife, where we just think the first response is, why don't I tell these people about Jesus? May that be our response, is, he's here. He's here. Let me introduce you to Jesus. God, would that be just the message right on the tip of our tongue? Father, prepare our hearts now as we move towards communion, remembering the death of your Son. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we get ready to take communion, I just ask that you take some time to prepare your heart, to remember some of the things that we were just talking about, that Jesus Christ died for you, died in your place, as your substitute, died for your sins. And so as we take communion, we remember that with thankful hearts, with joyful hearts. But we also want to come before him and examine our hearts and repent of any sin that's in there. And then once you've done that and you're ready, you can go ahead and just come up here and make your way on this side, or that side, whichever side you're on or closest to you, and an elder or deacon will hand you a little cup. And at the top of it, there's a little thing you peel off, and there's a wafer in there. And then you peel off the next one, and there's some juice. And the wafer is supposed to represent, or should represent, the body of Christ that was broken for us. Okay, we don't have the bread because of the whatever COVID things. So you take that and you remember then in your hand, this is the body of Christ broken for me in my place. Then when you're done with that, you can pull off the next part and drink the juice that this is the blood, his blood spilled for me. His blood that makes me right with the Father. I can now be reconciled with the Father. I now have the righteousness of Christ. The Father actually can delight in me and love me the way he loves Jesus because Jesus took my place for me. So when you're ready, kind of in your own time, there's no rush, we'll keep singing. And when you're ready, come up and just grab one of these, and then you can take it back to your seat, take it with your family, however you choose to do that by yourself. Well, let's listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, the bread that is. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So let's remember the Lord Jesus in this way.